The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, before we get into things, I just dropped the promo video for my next music video, Jack Tatum, you know, the intro track for the show. So you could check that out on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/KatieTrop, or you could go to my website, katietrop.net. It is available on both of those outlets. So go check it out. And I will be dropping the music video for that on Sunday. So look out for that. But let's get right into the sports. We had a big-ass weekend of sports, beginning with UFC 287. Adesanya is back as the champ. He made sure there were no questions this time around. As I said on Friday's show, Pereira owns Adesanya. You know, they both came up in the kickboxing ranks, and Pereira knocked him out once and then won by decision. And then, obviously, in UFC, their last fight, Pereira knocked him out. This time around, Adesanya was like, hail to the no, bitch. He knocked his ass out in the second round. So he made sure that he was taking that championship belt, and it was all his. It was crazy, too, because, you know, to begin, the fight was kind of boring. It was kind of one of those fights where one dude was just kind of waiting for the other guy to hit him. And it just kind of felt like neither guy really wanted to get hit with the knockout punch. But then the second round started off kind of slow, but then finally Pereira started to get it going. Adesanya started to get it going. They just started trading barbs. But then Pereira got Adesanya backed up against the fence. And it looked like he was going to knock Adesanya out. And it was like, nah, bitch. Adesanya just knocked Pereira out cold and got a second round KO. And he is back as the champ, as he should be. And then in the co-main event, unfortunately, Jorge Masvidal, he lost, and he did exactly what he said he was going to do, when that is retire. It is his fourth straight loss, so it's kind of, at this point, looking like it is the end of Masvidal's career. Very sad, but a very great career. As I was saying on Friday's show, one of my favorite fighters. I've enjoyed his career. Of course, the greatest thing he has ever done is knocked out Ben Askren in a couple of seconds with that knee kick to the face. One of the most insane knockouts you will ever see in your life, but it was excellent, spectacular. So Masvidal, you had a great career, loved watching you, and you left it all in the octagon, and you just had to do what you had to do. I mean, it did go the distance, but unfortunately, he just pretty much got owned by Burns. It was a very Burns-dominated fight. Masvidal gave it his all, but unfortunately he did not get the win, and so he ended up retiring. I expect to see that dude inducted into the Hall of Fame. Hey, hopefully maybe he'll go into announcing or analysis of UFC, because he does have a lot of knowledge. Who knows what he's going to do with the rest of his career, but I will say he had a spectacular UFC career. Very sad end, but that is usually how it goes. Hey, at least didn't get knocked out. It, like I said, it was his fourth loss in a row, but went to the cards and the judges, and that's just how his career ends. Never, usually doesn't end pretty, but hey, he went out on a pretty decent note, and plus he was in Miami. That's where he's from, so he got to retire in Miami and stay in Miami, I guess, because, you know, they usually say when you retire, you head to Florida. Well, he was already there. All right, so let's get into the Trop 10 MLB Power Rankings, the week one, which is always in every single sport. The first week of Power Rankings is always the weirdest one, because there's always some rando teams in here who you did not expect to be there, and chances are will never be back again. But that is the first week of baseball. So, and we had a lot of surprises. Of course, there's some teams in here that should be in here. But then, as I said, there's a number one is, I cannot believe it. So let's get right into it. Number one on my top 10 MLB power rankings this week is the Tampa Bay Rays. They are 9-0, starting off the season 9-0 in historic fashion, too. So this past week, they swept the Tigers, the Nationals, and the Oakland A's. And yes, they are shitty teams, but you know what? Right now, the Tampa Bay Rays, not only is them starting 9-0 historic for them, but also just the amount of runs they have scored so far. At this point in the season, in the first week of the season, the Tampa Bay Rays have scored 75 runs. Yeah, 75. It's insane how many more runs they have compared to the rest of the league at this current point in time. So while they beat up on a bunch of scrubs, starting 9-0, you cannot deny that. Plus the amount of runs and the domination. I mean, Wander Franco, he had a pretty much down season last year after signing his big contract. Not now. Dude is on some. He's got 4 home runs on the season. Randy Arozarena looking really hot right now. He's got 11 RBI on the season. Their starting pitching is solid as fuck right now. So the Tampa Bay Rays are rocking and rolling, and they are number one. And if they keep playing this way, I mean, I didn't have them in my playoffs, and it's really just because I didn't really know what to expect from them. But I knew they were a very talented team, and I knew they could do this. So you really got to watch out for the Rays. I think they are legit. They have a very solid squad with some great starting pitching. Some, like I said, Wander Franco, excellent player. Randy Arozarena, excellent player. They've just got a really stacked roster. So I wouldn't be surprised to see the Rays in it all season long. I don't know how long, much longer they're going to remain at number one, but this week had to be at number one. Then at number two on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Milwaukee Brewers. Overall record of 7-2, and this team's on fire. Did not expect to see them not only just in my top 10, but they are just killing it right now. This past week, they beat the Chicago Cubs, the Mets, and the Cardinals, and they actually swept the Mets and took both of the series against the Cubs and the Cardinals, and they are just playing great. I mean, they had like a 6-game winning streak right in between Chicago and St. Louis. Right now, Peralta is just pitching out of his mind. He's playing great, but Brian Anderson, he has come out of nowhere for them. Right now, he's batting a .370 with 10 runs, 10 run RBI, and 3 home runs. He is just killing it right now. He's their offensive force. The Brewers are just really putting together some good baseball, especially with their pitching, and they're just scoring some runs, making some crazy plays, and I don't know how much longer they're going to remain in the top 10, but they definitely starting off the season looking good. Then at number three on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the New York Yankees. Overall record of 6-3. This past week, they took the series against the Giants, the Phillies, and the Baltimore Orioles. And Aaron Judge is picking up right where he left off last year on his MVP, his history-making season. Right now, he's already got 4 home runs, 7 RBI, and batting a .364. So he's back at it. I'm kind of shocked people aren't walking him yet, giving him the Barry Bonds treatment, which they always could, but he is looking sharp. But then also their starting pitching, as I said, it was a weakness last year, but they did what they could to improve this year. And while Rodon hasn't played yet because he's on the injured list, Cole is looking sharp. Cortez is looking sharp. But they also have this rookie, Johnny Brito, who is looking really damn good, too. He's looking like the extra piece they needed that they didn't know that they had. So he's there, and so the Yankees looking really solid right now. Then at number four on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Atlanta Braves. Overall record of 6-4. This past week, they beat the Nationals and the Cardinals, but just got swept this past weekend by the San Diego Padres. You know, Spencer Strider, he continues to pick up right where he left off last season as well. He's got 18 strikeouts on the season and a win. But really, their offensive firepower right now, you know, they have Acuña. They have Austin Riley. They have so many different places they could score runs. And now all of a sudden we have Matt Olson, who's actually leading pretty much in every batting category for this team right now. He's batting a .350, three home runs and 11 RBIs right now on the season. So while the Braves did get swept by the Padres, that's still a good team that you're getting beat by. They're still a good team. They still look pretty solid, and we'll see what they got the rest of the season. Then at number five on my top 10 MLB power rankings, the San Diego Padres, overall record of 6-4. They took the series against the Rockies and the Arizona Diamondbacks, and then just swept the Braves this weekend. And it's looking like the pickup of Xander Bogaerts is really paying off right out the gate. Dude is batting at .324 with three home runs and eight RBI, which is leading in every single batting category right there for the Padres. Also, their pitcher, Michael Wacha, he's starting the season off looking real nice. He's got two wins on the season and a very low ERA. So Padres putting it together, starting the season off right, especially because the Dodgers are not starting off the season right. They are not in the top 10 this weekend. Actually, when we round out the top 10, I get to laugh at why they're not. But anyways, at number six this week on my top 10 MLB power rankings, I have the Los Angeles Angels. Overall record of 5-4. This past week, they took the series against the Oakland A's, the Seattle Mariners, and they did lose twice. They lost a series to the Toronto Blue Jays. Mike Trout, Shohei Ohtani, looking really, really good right now. Mike Trout is batting a .355 with three home runs, nine RBI. Shohei Ohtani's got three home runs, batting a .333 with eight RBIs. He's also got one win on the season and 18 strikeouts already on the season. Then you also have Hunter Renfro, who has come out of nowhere. He's provided a huge offensive spark for them. And the Angels actually look like a pretty decent team at this point in time. We'll see how they go the rest of the season. But right now, Angels are actually looking like they have a little bit of promise. So we'll see what happens with them the rest of the season. Then at number seven on my top 10 MLB power rankings, I have the Toronto Blue Jays. Overall record of 6-4. They lost the series to the St. Louis Cardinals, but won the series against the Kansas City Royals and the Los Angeles Angels. They're getting some crazy offensive power from Matt Chapman. Right now he's batting a .475. Yeah, a .475 that leads the league right now. And then he also has 14 RBI on the season, which also leads the league. So he's starting off hot. Then also their starting pitcher, Kevin Gausman. He's got a zero ERA and two wins on the season and is rocking and rolling for the Toronto Blue Jays. Then at number eight on my top 10 MLB power rankings have the Boston Red Sox. Overall record of 5-4. This past week, they took the series against the Baltimore Orioles, got swept by the Pittsburgh Pirates, and took a series against the Detroit Tigers. Starting off the season great for them. Adam Duvall batting a .455, four home runs, and 14 RBIs. But unfortunately, he got injured yesterday. And it's looking there is no timetable. I believe it's a wrist fracture. I could be thinking of somebody else. He did get injured, and he's out indefinitely. And it doesn't look like it's going to be – he's coming back in a month. It looks like this could be potentially, I would say, at least till the All-Star break, which really is awful because, you know, I had no hopes at all for the Red Sox this season, and I still don't. I wouldn't be shocked if – especially now with the injury to Duvall. He really started off the season hot. It looked like he was going to provide this huge offensive spark along with Devers, who also – I believe he's got, what, four home runs already on the season too. It looked like they were going to be a nice little tandem there, provide some offense for them. Outside of Duvall, Red Sox have been kind of just shaky. Their starting pitching has been okay. I mean, as I said, they got swept by the Pirates earlier in the week. So I think this Duvall injury is really going to take the wind out of their sails. That's for damn sure. Then at number nine on my top 10 MLB power rankings, a team I don't expect to remain in the top 10, but hey, who knows? And that would be the Pittsburgh Pirates with an overall record of 6-3. They did start the season off by getting swept by the Cincinnati Reds, but then they took a series against the Boston Red Sox and the Chicago White Sox this past weekend. So they definitely are looking real good right now. And as I said, they swept the Red Sox took 2 out of 3 from the White Sox. And the hilarious thing is that before the season started, all offseason, Brian Reynolds was demanding a trade, demanding a trade, demanding a trade. Well, right now, Brian Reynolds is batting a .405 with 5 home runs and 14 RBI. Oh, by the way, that 5 home runs and 14 RBI lead the league right now. So the dude is starting off hot. So if he ever becomes available for a trade, which would be possible because, yes, the Pirates did start the season off hot, there's a good chance that they're going to just plummet pretty soon. And if the season starts to get shaky and Reynolds stays this hot, that's going to be some great trade bait right there for them, and they could get a lot of prospects. Unfortunately for the Pirates, their young shortstop, O'Neill Cruz, he was a rookie last year, had a really solid season, he just looks like he's going to become one of the next big stars in the league. And unfortunately, he got injured yesterday, and he's going to be out, I believe, 2 or 3 months is what I was reading. I believe he has an ankle injury, if I remember correctly, so that sucks for the Pirates, but that's just the way baseball goes, man. But we'll see if the Pirates are able to keep this little streak going. I mean, they do have some solid players, but they do have a lot of question marks, and they're still the Pirates, so you can't ever really count on them. I will say, though, Andrew McCutchen, he is back in a Pirates uniform, and it was cool to see the first homestand this weekend. He got a huge standing ovation, so it's really cool to see him get the send-off, because I believe this is going to be his last season. That's why he went back to Pittsburgh, because that's where he started. It was cool to see that. And then rounding out my top 10 MLB power rankings, the team I am super surprised to even see doing this well, and I don't really expect to see them up here again, but what they did this past week is noteworthy, and I had to put them in the top 10 just so I could laugh about them kicking the shit out of the Dodgers. And that would be the Arizona Diamondbacks rounding out the top 10 this week. Overall record of 6-4. And let's see. They took a series against the Dodgers to start the season. They took a series against the Padres. And then they took a series against the Dodgers again. And it's just been straight domination. I couldn't really name anybody on their roster still outside of Madison Bumgarner and Evan Longoria. And that's just because they're both veterans who played for the Giants. So that's why I could name them. But I mean, still, even looking at the stats and how they're winning, it's just Diamondbacks are playing really solid baseball. And hey, they just deserve to be mentioned, just because when you dominate the Dodgers like that, nobody expected it. Had to put them up there. So I don't expect that to last, but hey, who knows? So that is the baseball power rankings for the week. So let's move on to some basketball, because we are officially in playoff mode. Now, I know they call the beginning of it the play-in tournament, but it's technically the playoffs. So that's at least what I'm counting it as. So before we get into all the playoff talk, let's talk about the NBA end of the year leaders. So in total points, Jason Tatum led the league with 2,225 total points. And then points per game average was Joel Embiid of the Philadelphia 76ers. He averaged 33.1 points per game. Then total rebounds was Sacramento Kings' DeMontis Sabonis. He had 964 rebounds. He also led the league in rebounding percentage with 12.3 rebounds per game. Then total assist leader, Atlanta Hawks' Trae Young had 741 total assists. And then the leader on assists per game was James Harden with 10.7 assists per game. Then total steals was OG Anunoby from the Toronto Raptors. He had 128 steals. And then three-pointers made, Klay Thompson of the Golden State Warriors dropped 301 three-pointers this season. So those are the league leaders. Obviously, we will find out who all the MVPs are and such when the playoffs are over. But That's it's crazy, the end of the season. I mean, we had some really weird games this weekend. And so let's get right into the playoffs. I'm going to first start with just the play-in. Play-in begins tomorrow and Wednesday and Thursday, and then the actual playoffs begin Saturday or Friday. Friday or Saturday, I can't remember. It's either Friday or Saturday. Regardless, the playoffs begin this week. And so I'm going to be making my entire playoff predictions today after I discuss the NBA play-in matchups. So let's get it started with the NBA play-in matchups on the Western Conference side. We have the number 7-seeded Los Angeles Lakers at the number 8 versus the Minnesota Timberwolves. They will be in Los Angeles for that one. I'm actually going to take the Lakers in this one. Just because right now the Timberwolves, do you know how they ended their season? I'm sure if you're a basketball fan or just even a casual sports fan, you saw how their season ended yesterday. Rudy Gobert, they made a trade for him in the offseason. He is a great player, but he's had his issues with teammates. And yesterday he had an issue with a teammate, and they actually got into an argument to start, and this was towards the end of the game. They were in a huddle. They started arguing back and forth, and then I believe it was Kyle Anderson who was on the receiving end of this, but basically Kyle Anderson, his teammate, whatever they were arguing about, he looks at him and goes, "Fuck you, bitch," and then Gobert just tries to take a swing at him, and that's how their season ended up yesterday. Now, they did still get the win, But that's not the type of team morale you want to be walking into the playoffs with. So that's really actually the main reason why I think the Lakers will win, because the Timberwolves and the Lakers are actually pretty equal teams. They have about the same amount of stars. They also have the same amount of problems as well. Neither team is really that good. But I'm going to go with the Lakers to beat the Minnesota Timberwolves in the play-in tournament. Then we have in the Western Conference side, the second play-in tournament game is the number 9 New Orleans Pelicans versus the number 10 Oklahoma City Thunder. And this one, I'm going Oklahoma City. New Orleans will not have Zion once again. So he ends the season on the injured list and doesn't look like he's going to be playing in this game. And it doesn't look like he's going to be playing, who knows if at all, depending on how far the Pelicans end up going. But I'm actually, like I said, I'm taking Oklahoma City in this one. They got a lot of spark on the offensive side of things here. And while the Pelicans have actually been playing pretty decent basketball to end the season, I just think Oklahoma City's going to have too much offensive firepower, score too many points. And I've got Oklahoma City moving on in that one. Then turning to the Eastern Conference, and they're play-in games. The first one's going to be the number 7-seeded Miami Heat versus the number 8-seeded Atlanta Hawks. I have Miami moving on in this one just because Atlanta is kind of similar to the Minnesota Timberwolves, in which they've pretty much, their players haven't really gelled at all this season. They've had their infighting as well. They fired their coach about a month ago because shit wasn't working out with him and Trae Young. So I just kind of feel like Miami, they're a good team. They've got a lot of solid players. They're only a couple of years removed from the NBA Finals. So I've got the Miami Heat winning that matchup. And then the last play-in tournament game is between the number 9-seeded Toronto Raptors versus the number 10-seeded Chicago Bulls. I'm taking Toronto in this one. I feel like this is kind of a coin toss, but Toronto's played more consistent basketball. They've been here before, so that's really the only reason why I'm taking Toronto in that one. So those are actually my beginning predictions. So now let's get on to my overall NBA playoff predictions. So let's get it started on the Western Conference side of things here. I just gave my predictions on the play-in tournaments. I'll just state them again just to get it started that way. Number 7 Lakers versus number 8 Minnesota. I'm taking the Lakers to win that one. So that means the Lakers will go into the playoff, directly into the playoff, and they will be matched up against the Memphis Grizzlies. So then with Minnesota losing, that means they would play one more game in the play-in tournament. And in the New Orleans-Oklahoma City matchup, since I have Oklahoma City winning that game, Oklahoma City moves on and New Orleans is out of the playoffs. So the last play-in game on the Western Conference side would actually be between the Minnesota Timberwolves in the Oklahoma City Thunder. I'm going to take Oklahoma City against them just because, as I said, the Timberwolves are in complete disarray. Oh, I forgot to mention, Gobert is suspended for the first game against the Lakers, so who knows if he's going to play this game. I can't imagine they're going to suspend him for more than one game, but you never know. I still think the team is in too much disarray, whereas the Thunder, they're, like I said, offensively, they look pretty damn good, and I have them beating the Minnesota Timberwolves and moving on. So that would take us to the first round of the playoffs. And with the Oklahoma City Thunder moving on, they would actually face the number one seeded Denver Nuggets. With that, if that's the case, and really, to me, I kind of feel like no matter who Denver faces from the play-in tournament, they're going to beat them easily. Whether it's the Timberwolves, whether it's the Pelicans, or whether it's the Thunder, or the Lakers, but I don't think they can face the Lakers because the Lakers aren't the lowest seed. So the Lakers are going to Memphis regardless if they win. So to me, it doesn't really matter who faces off against the Denver Nuggets in the first round. I think they're going to sweep whoever it is they face. While the Nuggets have had their issues the last couple of weeks, and you don't want to be coming into the playoffs with these issues, I still think they're a good team. I can't count them out, and I think the Oklahoma City Thunder are just not even on their level. So I have Denver sweeping the Oklahoma City Thunder and moving on to the conference finals. Then the number two matchup would be the number two seeded Memphis Grizzlies versus my shitty ass number seven seeded Los Angeles Lakers. While the Lakers are playing pretty decent basketball right now, I don't think they will have a shot against the Memphis Grizzlies. As a matter of fact, I feel like this is going to be a five-game series with Memphis winning 4-1 and moving on to the conference finals. Then the next matchup we have is the number three-seeded Sacramento Kings versus the number six-seeded Golden State Warriors. This one, I'm actually going to be taking Golden State. Yes, I know the Kings have had a very, very good season. They've been one of the best teams in the Western Conference, and the Golden State Warriors have been up and down all season. But right now, Golden State Warriors are actually on the upside of things. Also, they're a dynasty. They are this era's dynasty. They know how to win in the postseason. They know how to win championships. Whereas the Kings, this is their first go-round. And usually, that's not a good thing for you, especially when you're facing up against the defending champions. And while, yes, the Golden State Warriors are the number six seed, can't count them out at all. So I do think this is going to be a good series. I think the Kings are going to keep up offensively, but it's just the Golden State Warriors. They have the veteran leadership. They have the championship pedigree. And so I have the Golden State Warriors winning the series against the Kings in six games, 4-2. Then the last first round matchup in the Western Conference is the number four seeded Phoenix Suns versus the number five seeded Los Angeles Clippers. I think this is probably going to be the best series in the Western Conference first round, just because these two teams match up very well against each other. Although I think it sucks for the Clippers because it doesn't look like Paul George is going to be playing at all in this series. So that's going to take out a lot of their offensive firepower. But Phoenix, while Phoenix has been able to put it together this last month or so, I still think there's some questions and, you know, who knows how they're going to look with Kevin Durant. But Kevin Durant has championships, and he knows how to win. Also, the Suns have been one of the best teams in the Western Conference. They've been to the finals a couple years ago, so they know how to get there. Whereas the Clippers, they don't know how to do anything but lose. So I do think this is going to be a good series. I do think it's going to go the distance, all seven games, but I've got Phoenix winning in Game 7, 4-3. So my conference semifinals would be the Golden State Warriors versus the Memphis Grizzlies. And I think this would be a spectacular matchup. I think it would be a great point guard matchup between Ja Morant and Steph Curry. I think we get a lot of points. But I do feel like in a series between these two, I think Memphis, I will give them the edge just because I think defensively they are better. Whereas Golden State, as I said, they have had their up moments and they've had their down moments. And you just don't know what to expect from them because they haven't been consistent at all this season, even within the last month. Like, yes, they had a good week this week, but the week before that, they did not have a good week. So just the fact that the Golden State Warriors aren't that consistent, whereas Memphis has been consistent, even through the tough times, Memphis has still been here. They are the number two seed for a reason. I do think this series would go the distance, so I do have Memphis winning that one in seven games, 4-3. and moving on to the Western Conference Finals. So then the other matchup in the Western Conference semifinals, I have the Denver Nuggets versus the Phoenix Suns. As I've stated pretty much all season long, I don't really believe in the Nuggets. And I kind of feel like going up against the teams like the Suns, if they have a healthy Kevin Durant, or at least a decent Kevin Durant who knocks down some shots, you got him and Booker lighting them up. Then you will have Chris Paul dishing the ball, and then you've got Ayton in the middle. Denver only has Jokic. And while Jokic is having yet another amazing, phenomenal MVP type season, I think that it's just going to be too much pressure on him. And I do think the Phoenix Suns will get the better of the Denver Nuggets, and they will take the series in 6 games, 4-2, and move on to the Western Conference Finals. So my Western Conference Finals matchup would be the Phoenix Suns versus the Memphis Grizzlies. And I'm actually kind of shocked I ended up with this result, but I'm taking the Phoenix Suns. And the reason why is just because I feel like the Suns are going to go on a run. I think they're getting Kevin Durant back at the right time. Devin Booker has had a phenomenal season. You're just not really hearing about him because so many other players are having great seasons. It's just really hard to look at him and go, oh yeah, Devin Booker's an MVP-type player, but he's having an MVP-type season. So you put him and Durant out there, it's going to be, who are you going to stop? You going to go focus on Booker? Well, Durant's open. You going to go focus on Durant? Well, Booker's open. Then you got Chris Paul, who's one of the best point guards in the league, dishing the ball. He's going to find everybody. And then you got Ayton, who's just been getting better and better as the season wears on. Whereas Memphis, the injuries, I feel like at this point, if they don't have Adams back by this series, I feel like that's going to be a wrap. And so I have the Phoenix Suns moving on to the NBA Finals in 6 games. 4-2 over the Memphis Grizzlies in the Western Conference Finals. So let's move on to the Eastern Conference side of things here. And on the play-in tournament, we've got number 7, Miami, number 8, Atlanta. As I said, I have Miami winning that matchup, so that would bump them up into the playoff against the Boston Celtics. And that would move Atlanta to the other side of the play-in tournament just for another shot to play the number 1 seed. Then number 9, Toronto versus number 10, Chicago. I have Toronto winning that one, so that takes Chicago completely out of the playoffs and Toronto into the last play-in game. So then it would be Atlanta versus Toronto. And Toronto, they've been very, very shaky this season. There's also some talk that it's looking like Nick Nurse is going to get replaced as the coach, whether he quits or they fire him. It looks like it's just inevitable. So with all the shakiness between both of these teams, I feel like it would be a good game anyways. And so between the two of them, I feel like the Atlanta Hawks are a slightly better team than the Raptors. So I've got the Hawks winning that matchup and moving up into the playoffs. So the Atlanta Hawks would play the number 1 seeded Milwaukee Bucks. And in my opinion, it doesn't matter who the Milwaukee Bucks play against. They are going to kick the shit out of whoever it is. And I feel like the Bucks will sweep the Hawks 4-0. So then we have number 2 Boston Celtics versus the number 7 seeded Miami Heat. I think this will be a good matchup. Boston, they've been one of the best teams all season. They're starting to get healthy now, and they were in the NBA Finals last year, so they do know how to win come playoff time. As I said, I feel like this will be a good game, a good series between two really solid teams with a lot of talent, but I feel like Boston's just better on the defensive side of the ball, and they will get the win in 6 games, 4-2. Then we have the number 3 seeded Philadelphia 76ers against the number 6 seeded Brooklyn Nets. I don't think this is going to be a good matchup at all. I feel like Philadelphia is going to run away with this series and in a straight sweep 4-0. Brooklyn, they should just feel lucky that they're even here, because after the way their season has gone and then losing Durant and Kyrie Irving and they don't even have the crying vagina, Ben Simmons. Dude's been crying his eyes out all season too. On the bench, not playing at all. What a shock. So I do think the 76ers, they're a legit championship contender in my opinion, and I think they're going to sweep on through to the Eastern Conference semifinals. Then the last first round matchup is the number 4 seeded Cleveland Cavaliers versus the number 5 seeded New York Knicks. Unfortunately for the Knicks, Julius Randle is not going to be playing in this series. And the Cavaliers have been one of the hottest teams in the Eastern Conference. They've really stepped it up. They've really looked good. And I kind of feel like even if the Knicks had Randle, I probably would take Cleveland anyways. But with no Randle, I don't really think the Knicks have much of a shot. And I have Cleveland, I think it'll be a good series overall, but I have Cleveland winning in 6 games, 4-2. So then my Eastern Conference semifinals would be the Philadelphia 76ers versus the Boston Celtics. I think this will be a great series if this is how it ends up. Two really solid teams. You know, you got Joel Embiid playing at MVP level. You got James Harden, who it just has had a killer season at the three-point line. I mean, as I was saying with Booker, nobody's really talking about Booker. Well, it's the same thing with Harden, where the dude is just playing really great offensively, and he's like a silent killer. It's like everybody forgot about him, and I kind of feel like that's going to be a problem come playoff time if he's able to stay healthy. Now, we do all know, remember playoff Harden. He usually disappears, but Harden has just had a different type of season, so I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, and I'm going to say he has a decent series against Boston. And with Boston, they're an excellent team. Jason Tatum's been having a great season. But I just kind of feel like it's going to go the distance. I've got it going 7 games, but I've got the 76ers just eking it out. I feel like it's going to be one of these games where it comes down to just Embiid just makes this big defensive play, or just he goes off for like 50 points or something crazy like that. And that's what the deciding factor is going to be. It's just this one big, maybe like game 7. Between these two, and I just think the 76ers are going to pull it through. And because I do feel like with the 76ers, they've got a bone to pick. They've got a chip on their shoulder from last year, because if you don't remember, the 76ers dominated the season last year. They were the team to beat, and then they got injured right as the playoffs began. Embiid, I believe he broke his nose or had some type of like orbital bone issue, so he had to wear that mask thing. But then he also, I believe he cut his thumb or something like that, and he just was not the same after that. So I kind of feel like the 76ers have a bone to pick this postseason, and I think they know that they had a shot last year, and I think this year they're going to make up for it. And I do think they're going to beat the Boston Celtics and move on to the Eastern Conference Finals. Then my other Eastern Conference semifinals matchup would be the Milwaukee Bucks versus the Cleveland Cavaliers. While I feel like the Cavaliers are having a great season, and I do feel like they'll make this a good series against the Bucks, to me, the Bucks are head and shoulders above every team in the NBA this year. Every team. Every team from top to bottom in the West, and every team from top to bottom in the East. Milwaukee is that team. They are number one to me. And I think they have the championship pedigree. They have the veteran leadership. They have the superstar in Giannis Antetokounmpo. They have the good coach. They have the bench players. They have the role players. They play great on defense. They're just a team set up to win it all. And while the Cavaliers have just had a very good and very solid season, I think the end of the road will come here against the Bucks in 6 games, 4-2. So my Eastern Conference Finals matchup would be the Milwaukee Bucks versus the Philadelphia 76ers. And while I feel like the 76ers have a lot to prove and have a huge chip on their shoulder, as I just said, the Milwaukee Bucks are head and shoulders the best team in the league to me. And I feel like if I have to pick against Antetokounmpo or Embiid, both phenomenal players, I'm going to give the slight edge to Giannis. And that's just because I feel he's just a bit more athletic than Embiid. And that's going to be the edge in this one. I also feel like, you know, as I said, Milwaukee's only a couple years removed from their finals championship. And they're a really good team. They've been the best team all season in the league. And I just don't really see them losing to the 76ers in this matchup. I've got them winning the Eastern Conference Finals in 6 games, 4-2. So my NBA Finals matchup is the Milwaukee Bucks versus the Phoenix Suns. And I don't know if you just heard me say, but I think the Bucks are the best team in the league. They have no weakness. There is nothing bad about this team in any way, shape, or form. And when you've got the championship pedigree, when you play offense great, when you play defense great, when your bench is solid, because there is always a game in the NBA Finals where you need the bench. Usually in a series, there's always a game where you need the bench, but in the NBA Finals, there is always one game that is decided by the bench. And I feel like Milwaukee's got the edge in each and every category over Phoenix. I think Phoenix will put up a good fight, but I just think Phoenix needs to get Kevin Durant gelled in a little bit more with them. I think he will make them, him and Booker will light shit up, but I feel like Milwaukee is so much better on the defensive side of things. And I have Milwaukee Bucks winning the NBA Finals in 6 games, 4-2. So my NBA champions, I have the Milwaukee Bucks, as they should be. I mean, like I said, head and shoulders above everybody else. I'd be shocked if they don't make at least the Eastern Conference Finals. I feel like that really the only team that I feel could beat them would be the Philadelphia 76ers. And that's just because Embiid can match up against Giannis. I don't know if Ayton can handle what Giannis has got for a 7-game series. So we'll see what happens there. That's, like I said, NBA Finals for me. Milwaukee versus Phoenix with the Milwaukee Bucks on top as champs yet again. So we'll see how that goes. So I'll keep track. We'll see how shitty I do or how right I am. But that's today's show. And enjoy the jam-packed week full of sports. And I will talk to you motherfuckers on Friday.